of heights to the depths of the sea.
So someone who speaks in the name of other gods, not according to the revealed word of God or the character or the nature of God and his son Jesus Christ. A false prophet also speaks things that are false, things that aren't true, making predictions that don't come to pass. And history is littered with individuals who have made predictions.
Every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg.
Jesus just warned us of a path that leads to destruction. Now he reminds us that there are many who would try to guide us along the broad path that leads to destruction. The first step to combating these false prophets is to simply beware of them. It is in the nature of these false prophets to deceive and deny their true character. Often they deceive even themselves, believing themselves to be sheep when in fact they are ravenous wolves. Now let's join Pastor Rob in chapter 7 of the Gospel of Matthew, starting in verse 15.
Let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel. We're going to be finishing up chapter 7, Lord willing, today. We'll also take communion, looking forward to that. Let's read Matthew 17, beginning in verse 15, down through the end. Notice Jesus speaking to his disciples there on the hill on the western shore of the Galilee. He says to them, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So as we look at this, as we finish this chapter, Jesus, we know that part of this Sermon on the Mount, which ends really after this chapter that we're reading today, part of it was the attitudes of those who would come to Christ, the attitudes of a person who, these things ought to be in the life of a believer. And Jesus, as he is now taught the Beatitudes to them, now he's teaching them, as he has been, these things that they need to be concerned about. They need to take and pay attention to. Issues of the heart. issues of the heart. And so before Jesus sends out his disciples, and we'll see this later on in chapter 10, they will need to understand kingdom principles and be made aware of what they're getting into and the things that they're going to face. Because they were going to face a barrage against them. They were going to experience, perhaps for the very first time, real persecution, real spiritual conflict, spiritual warfare. And Jesus will send them first to the lost sheep of Israel. And Jesus, being the good shepherd, is going to teach them now to be good shepherds. Jesus is the good shepherd, but he's going to teach them how to be a good shepherd. Actually, I didn't mean to bring that up yet. Let me go back. Cute little guy, isn't he? If he didn't have a wolf inside of him. But what does a good shepherd do? Oh, wait, it came back again. Just wants to be known, I guess. But what does a good shepherd do? A good shepherd is one who brings his sheep to good pastures that have been inspected so that they can eat. A good shepherd watches for enemies trying to attack the sheep. He defends the sheep from predators. He protects them from other dangers. He heals the wounded and the sick sheep. He finds and saves lost and trapped sheep. And finally, he knows them by name. In verses 1 through 6, Jesus talked about judging. And now in verses 15 through 20, he's going to be talking about, you will know false prophets by their fruits, by the things that they say, by the things that they do. And if you watch someone long enough, you will know them by their fruits or the fruit of their doings. And this sounds like doublespeak, doesn't it? Because when we think about what he had shown us about how we ought not to judge, that's not what this means, because we're not passing judgment with ultimate authority about where this person or persons are going to go. But it's not wrong for us to call it what it is. Do you understand that? I mean, because that's what really, looking at the fruit of a person's life is not judging them. You're just stating the obvious. You're not judging them. When somebody goes into a bank and he's got a gun and he's going to be he's going to rob the bank, he's a criminal. He's a bank robber. Now, can he change? Sure, he can repent and go to heaven. You're not making it a judgment by calling him a criminal. Don't judge me, brother. No, that's not what this is about. God is the ultimate one who will judge you. But your actions right now are not good, right? And so we looked at that last week. But notice in verse 15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets. So this whole section, 15 through 20, is really in the context of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, like this cute little guy here. What is a false prophet? Deuteronomy, it tells us. Deuteronomy says in verse 8, in chapter 18, beginning in verse 15, it says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, Moses telling the children of Israel, from your brethren, him you shall hear according to all that all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, and here Moses is recounting what God had told him. He says, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. Now, who is this ultimately going to be? Jesus Christ. This is a prophecy of Jesus Christ, of him not only being our Savior, but he's also our King. He's also our High Priest. But guess what? He's also he is a prophet. Jesus is. And he shall speak to them all the words that I command him. And it shall be that whosoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks, and here God gives him the answer. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. Which makes sense, because if God is omniscient and he's omnipotent, he knows all things, he's in all places at once, he can't be hoodwinked. He knows exactly what's going to happen before it even happens. And it's true. Whatever that prophet speaks, if it doesn't come to pass, that is the thing that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. And what does it tell us? So what it's basically saying is that a false prophet is someone who presumes to speak a word in God's name, which God has not commanded them to speak. It is also someone who speaks in the name of another god. Remember that. Speaks in the name of another god, because somebody can speak and claim that it's God, but if it's not the Jesus of the Bible, it's another god. It's a whole different god. It doesn't matter. So someone who speaks in the name of other gods, not according to the revealed word of God or the character and the nature of God and his son Jesus Christ. A false prophet also speaks things that are false, things that aren't true, making predictions that don't come to pass. And history is littered with individuals who have made predictions. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, so many people, so many different religions, even Christians, have made predictions about things that have not come to pass, and they are not true. They're false. Another way to determine if someone is a false prophet or a wolf in sheep's clothing is to look closely at what they eat. When a so-called sheep no longer eats the same thing as other sheep, but begins to salivate as they look at other sheep, you have a wolf in your midst, right? They're deceivers. They're con artists. If that wolf will not be converted, then he needs to be driven away or dealt with. Now, we have some friends who live out in the boondocks a little bit, and they have a chicken coop, and it's actually enclosed and everything. And at night, the coyotes, foxes, and I think there's even wolves out there, will try to come and break into their chicken coop at night. And that aggressor may get shot by the owner of that chicken coop. He's coming after the chickens. The wolf, the coyote, the fox, coming to eat the chicken or chickens, is going to have a come to meeting time with Uncle Glock or his two brothers, his famous brothers, Smith and Wesson, or his brother Remington, or his cousin Winchester, twice removed on his mother's side. That wolf, that fox, that coyote is going to come to meeting with one of those brothers. And it's not going to be good. Now, we, of course, are not to shoot false prophets, but we are to get them out of the church, and we are to warn the church about them and to encourage them not to follow them, not to listen to them. That's part of what a pastor does. That's part of what a shepherd does. He warns, he protects, and when possible, he'll kick out shepherd or false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing, even wolfettes in sheep's clothing. But there were false prophets and teachers in the Old Testament as well. In 1 Kings chapter 22, it's recorded for us, and you might as well go there really quick. 1 Kings chapter 22. And it's an event in the life of Ahab, the king of Israel. Ahab had a piece of land on the eastern side of the Jordan River that belonged to Israel, but now the king of Assyria had taken possession of it. And so Ahab, the king of Israel, talks to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and says, will you come with me and go against the king of Assyria? And Jehoshaphat, unfortunately, agrees to do it. But before doing that, Jehoshaphat said, hey, you know, we should probably seek the Lord and see if God is in this. So Ahab seeks out his prophets, and they all tell him, yeah, go up. The Lord's going to deliver it into your hand. Go ahead and go up. Everything's going to be fine. You guys are going to be victorious. And then Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here? This is in verse 7. That we may inquire of him. Is there another prophet here and I think Jehoshaphat knew that there was. So they sent and they brought a guy named Micaiah, the son of Imlah, and they inquired of him, and the king of Israel didn't want Micaiah to prophesy because he hated him, because he never prophesied any good for him. And the reason was is because he wasn't a good king. If he did good things, there'd be good. The prophet wouldn't even be necessary. So they bring Micaiah, they go fetch him, and in the meantime, Zedekiah, not the prophet, the son of Chenaniah, he made horns of iron for himself, and this is in verse 11, and he says, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied as well, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper. The Lord will deliver it into your hands. And so finally they bring Micaiah into the presence of the king. And then the king, verse 15, says, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go and prosper. The Lord's going to give it to you. But he was saying it tongue in cheek because he was being encouraged by the others to fall in line with the rest of the prophets. And so he said, yeah, go. You're going to be great. You're going to prosper. You're going to do great. And then the king says, how many times shall I make you swear to me that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? And so finally, Micaiah says, well, here it is. I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord says, they have no master. And so Micaiah basically prophesies a complete disaster for the king. And then in verse 19, it says, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, Micaiah said. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And so one spoke in this manner, another spoke in that manner. Verse 21, then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and says, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord says, you shall persuade him, and you also shall prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, Micaiah says, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. And so Zedekiah, this prophet who had prophesied that everything will go well, he comes up and he slaps Micaiah and across the face. And so the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Amnon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come back in peace. And notice what Micaiah said. If you return in peace, then the Lord has not spoken by me. Take heed, all you people. And that's exactly what happened. But notice how there was a plethora of false prophets, and there was one guy who stood against the tide, speaking the truth of God. And that's usually the way it is, unfortunately. It's usually one guy, not the whole entire church of God, saying yes. It's, you know, oftentimes it's just the remnant, the one. And Micaiah was one of those. And Jesus, even Peter and Paul, they warned us of false prophets as well. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus warned us, remember, in the Olivet Discourse, the disciples were going on about how beautiful the temple and everything was, and Jesus said, all of this stuff is going to be torn down. And they said, when is this going to happen? When are these things going to be? And Jesus, the first thing out of his mouth, he said, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And see, this is what a false prophet does. A false prophet will come in the name of Christ. He will purport things of God or purport things of the Word of God that are patently wrong and untrue. And throughout the history of the church, there have been many deceivers, false prophets, false teachers. We wouldn't have enough time to list them, but we know some of them. You know, Jim Jones down in Guyana back in the late 60s, early 70s. David Koresh, remember, I think it was like in 1980-something. And the list goes on. But 2 Peter chapter 2 in the first 19 verses, and we're not going to read those verses this morning, but I'm going to summarize them because he brings these characteristics of false teachers. One of them is that they bring in destructive heresies into the church. Things that are just patently wrong, defying the nature and the character of God. They deny the Lord. They deny that he is the Son of God. They blaspheme the Lord, speaking evil of him. They are covetousness. They desire and they want things, and they want to frisk you down for all the money that you have so that their ministry can grow and be big and prosperous. He also wants to exploit individuals with deceptive words. A false teacher or a false prophet will walk in the lust of their flesh, having eyes full of adultery. Just they're just given over to the flesh, and you watch their life long enough, and then you find out on the news that they've been cheating on their income taxes, that they're doing this or doing that. They're going away on vacations with their secretaries, and nobody knows about it. And all of these kinds of things happen, and these are false teachers and false prophets. And they despise authority. They have no accountability. They reject any accountability whatsoever. So they despise authority. They're presumptuous, self-willed. It's only about them and their image and what they want to project. And they're not afraid to speak evil or falsely of heavenly powers or authorities, blaspheming God and the angels and making fun of them. I've seen some horrific things, even some worship leaders talking of, you know, speaking of God in such an irreverent fashion, and pastors and women pastors who shouldn't be pastoring. It's not that they're not good. It's not that they can't teach, but that God has given them a role. But we've had over the years individuals that even came into this church and they really weren't interested in getting saved. They weren't interested in continuing in their being fed in the word and growing in their fellowship here. But they were here to draw away disciples for themselves. They were here to confuse people over certain doctrines, being divisive and combative. We've had that happen. And we've had to talk to individuals. And some individuals, we had to just tell them, listen, you can't come back here. You can't come back. And although false prophets and teachers can be women, many and most of them are single men. Many of them are single men or married men, and they try to lure women into their web. They lavish compliments on them, desiring to isolate them by inviting them to their Bible study that they're hosting, and only for the young woman to show up and find, interestingly enough, that no one was there for the Bible study except for her and this host of the Bible study. Must be a coincidence. But such is the nature of a false prophet and a false teacher. They allure. There's an individual governing our state who visited a church in Brooklyn on September 26, 2021. At the Cultural Christian Center. It's a mega church of about 40,000 people. And she had this to say about those who were hesitant on getting the COVID vaccination. She had made a mandate. Everybody had to be vaccinated. If you were in any kind of work whatsoever, you were mandated to do it or you were going to lose your job. So getting frustrated, she goes to the churches, and I just want to share this with you. This is what she said.
We are not through this pandemic. I wished we were, but I prayed a lot to God during this time. And you know what? God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers, he made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us. And we must say, thank you, God. Thank you. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated. All of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones. But you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another.
Pretty interesting. I want you to be my apostles. God wants you to do it. God wants you to do this. She wasn't speaking on God's behalf. God did not call her to speak for him concerning this. I believe that, and I know that. What she spoke wasn't true. The vaccine wasn't and isn't a true vaccine. We know that now, and it didn't even keep people from getting the virus, and it didn't keep it from spreading. If she was speaking for God, the vaccine would have been effective, but it hasn't been, and the powers that be have been suppressing the truth and hiding it from us.
That's the end of our study for today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m.,
Monday through Friday at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester's sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.